Hello, welcome, beautiful soul sisters. I am so happy that you're here. This is a space where we explore what it means to be wild women walking upon this earth, unearthing that which is often unseen and unspoken. Together, we practiced using our voices and the ancient ritual of storytelling, connecting about all that unites us as we share our stories of birth, life, and death. Magical full moon lunar eclipse to you today on the day that this podcast airs, which is going to be on Monday, the 25th. Today is March 22nd, 2024. It's just 2 days before my daughter's fourth birthday. I cannot believe that it's been 4 years since I was holding her in my womb, preparing to birth her, to free birth her at home. Her birth story will come later. I know last week I told Odin's birth story from just my perspective. I am currently in Washington State. I'm in my mother's home. I'm actually in her bedroom. My husband's clothes are up there right now because we're staying in this room. And as I'm currently awaiting the phone call to be present for another woman preparing to birth her baby. So it's so interesting that it's aligned in a similar timing, and I just feel this like liminal portal of great mystery of when her labor will begin and when the phone call will come. So this is going to be a solo episode today with a little creative mix for you. I'm going to begin with a short oracle card pull for you for this spring season. I'm kind of feeling maybe just three cards. And we'll see how that flows or if more cards come. And then I'm going to talk a little bit about rites of passage and then share the ancient myth of Inanna with you, which is part of the first gathering of Mother Circle called Mother Dive. It is a powerful, super relatable story that has been told by many. And I'm going to tell a version inspired mainly by Jessica Connelly. But to begin, so this is the, if you're not watching on YouTube and you want to see the cards, I'll try to maybe do a picture of the cards as the imagery for this episode, but I'm going to be using the Herbal Astrology Oracle Guidebook by Adriana Eyales. It's a beautiful, beautiful book. She is also the woman who does Anima Mundi Herbals. I just love this deck. I did a mediumship reading the other day and a card pull with a client with this deck. And yeah, I have been feeling more inspired to work with it. And so here we are with this deck today. How are you all feeling with this eclipse energy? And we just entered spring. It's feeling good to me. There were some bright sunny days since we've been here in Washington. Now today I'm looking out a window ahead of me and it is raining. We're hoping that the rain might break a little bit for my daughter's birthday because we're having a few people over and would love to be able to be outside, but you just never know. So I am shuffling the cards in my hands right now. You can't see it out of the frame. I like to close my eyes sometimes when I'm pulling cards. I don't know what your flow is yourself. Okay, feels like the first card for the spring. Okay, so this first card is psilocybin, card number 49, with the word commune underneath. Psilocybin. Sort of fitting for me to be in this area, here in Washington State on the western side. Psychedelic mushrooms grow wild, all over the place in parks and other spaces like that. You might even have some in your yard and not know it. I love this word commune because I feel the connection of communing. This feels like a returning in this imagery. There are a little fairies, little people, there's a cow, all these mushrooms in this beautiful little forest space. Many earth-based cultures refer to trees as the standing ones, as beings, as animate beings. And I see that here in this card, as saying, I'm working on that. I know that if I did like a course on public speaking, that would be one of the things to work on. And I'm going to try to work on it here as well. So I'm feeling this as an energy of like returning to our roots, to commune with our ancestors, to acknowledge what is coming up from the earth, like these trees and these mushrooms, these magical gifts that we don't have to create in a laboratory, like lots of medicines. This is a earth-based medicine. And there are even some theories about how monkeys may have found, or other earlier primates may have found medicinal mushrooms, and that it was through consuming them that it brought them to changing, evolving. Like we're always evolving. It's so interesting to be human, and like we're here for such a finite amount of time. And I keep thinking forward towards, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds, like thousands of years from now, how different the humans on this earth might be and what we will have evolved into. This feels like a deep invitation to commune, gather. I love that these little beings here are holding hands. I'm really feeling the community vibes. I grew up on the west side of Washington here on the Kitsap Peninsula, which isn't too far from where I am now. And so I still have family and friends in this region and have been here for just a week now, I think just a week on this side, and have really enjoyed my connections with people. I love this woman with this long flowing hair, and she has a skirt on, but no top. And she's, let's see if I can do this right. You can see the music is kind of encircling the people here. It reminds me of just the interesting parts of our culture that this is not legal in most places for women to be walking around without a shirt on. And yet it is for men. And how interesting that is. And why is that? And who made those rules? And I'm curious what you think about that. And perhaps if psilocybin is an ally of yours, maybe you would like to engage with her a little bit. I'm really trying not to say, and I think that that's. Oh, just the playfulness. I feel the playfulness here. And I just want to remind you to also find playfulness in your days. And I love that it's a mushroom, and mushrooms often come up like after a rain when it's wet. And it's raining right now, and spring is a rainy season. So it feels quite fitting, at least here in the Northern Hemisphere. I know I have some listeners in the Southern Hemisphere. It's so fun to see all the different countries that you're listening, tuning in from. Commune. Commune with the earth, with the trees, with the mushrooms. And it doesn't even have to be like psychedelic mushrooms. Like, say you're cooking yourself dinner and you're cooking some brown mushrooms, cremini mushrooms, or portobellos, or oyster mushrooms, lion's mane, whatever it is, just engage with that living being. And yes, you're going to consume it, but also commune with it. Acknowledge where it came from the earth, from the dirt. Like we all are made of stardust and dirt. and we all return. My stepdad once, he worked as a at like a funeral home with funeral homes and selling, caskets and burial plots and things like that. And he and my mom want to be cremated and be put into this place with, where they have these little like concrete boxes with people's ashes. And I was like, no, do not do that to me. Like, I want my flesh, my bones. Like, if I could be buried directly into the earth, you can do that in some states. Washington State isn't one of them. But I want to be returned to the earth. I don't want my matter to be stuck in a concrete box. No, because 100 years from now, no one's going to know who I was. No one's going to visit that grave site. I would like to just be returned to the earth. Ocean burials are also a possibility, but I know that's a little more complicated, and I don't know. We'll see. Okay. What other energy is here for this spring season? We'll see. Well, I feel like this card came up in the last pull. Did it? Remind me. I don't remember. Like, I don't even really normally remember what I say. Sort of like after a mediumship reading, I don't really remember what I said. Same thing with these like oracle pulls for you guys. So this is really beautiful. So this is, yeah, the feminine, this woman, and again, this like magic stardust. And then the peacock. And so this is a male peacock. It's the males that have these big feathers like this. And I feel like this is just reminding us of this abundance. Abundance. I've been really calling in abundance. We're preparing, we're trying to save up to my dream. I know I speak it here. We are going to be buying property, land, big enough to host women's circles, retreats, gatherings, music. I want a sacred women's space, a yurt with just for just women. And so we're calling in this financial abundance and saving our monies. And this card feels like a positive omen towards that, towards the money to come in this fountain here. The water is running over, like, it's full here and it's running over the tops and trickling down. And we'll see here, this plant is purple and green, which are my two favorite colors, purple and green. They're the best. And yet she looks focused. You see this focus? I feel like this is a reminder to me, because I can get caught up in the hustle and bustle of the day to day and caring for two young children. I love being a mother. I believe it's one of the most important jobs to be mothering my children and be with them day in, day out. And yet I also want to call in this financial abundance. And of course, wealth can mean many things. It's not just about money, but that's what I'm feeling with this card here today. So I hope that you listening, I also don't feel like these messages are for everyone in the whole world, but you women, I know there's lots of women entrepreneurs listening, and that our money wounds can run deep and it can be challenging. And may this spring bring a step towards saying yes to wealth. I've been also imagining how different the world might be if more of the wealth was in the hands of women. Because obviously right now, maybe it's not obvious, but right now, the majority of the wealth is in the hands of men. It just is how it is. And that also means they have control, a lot of control with all these finances. And there have been studies done where they gave the same amount of money to the woman of the family, like the head of the household, and to the man of the household. Like, they trialed having the woman manage the money and the man. And when the women are in charge of the money, everyone gets fed, everyone can go to school. The male still gets a stipend for, prostitute and drugs. And yet, if they were, when they give the man that same money, the man spends a majority of it on the prostitute, and there's not enough money to have to send all the kids to school, and there's not enough food. So I've just been imagining, envisioning, like calling in wealth, also just like imagining the transfer of wealth, more wealth transfer to women. It's so stigmatized, and in women's work, in birth work, it's stigmatized. A lot of people have this opinion that, like I shouldn't charge for work that I do with women. I need finances. I need money to live too, and so do you. And I just believe that the world would be a completely different place if the majority of the wealth belonged to women. What do you think? I'm curious. Kind of went tangent with that one. All right, let's pull one more card. Oh, okay. Two more, I guess. Is that two? Yeah. Okay. I was just gonna pull one more, but two came through. Oh, they're sort of similar. They're both snaky. So this really has the energy of rebirth for me. Snakes are big into rebirth. They look so similar too. Okay, so I pulled 21 nettle action. And Jurgen Satcha, transformation. Actually, I don't know. I don't think I've ever pulled this card before. I don't know much about that. And I see the snake energy, transformation in action. So yes, just wishing something to be true. I do believe in the power of manifestation and mantras and calling things in. And yet there also needs to be action. And that's what I feel this nettle is reminding us. That we also need to act to receive. Like transformation, what there's a quote on my website. I think it was from, but they talk about like the tentative waiting at the edge. Like that doesn't bring results. That doesn't bring transformation. Like you have to move forward and try the thing. And yes, you might fail, but if you never try, you've already failed. And we learn so much from failure. So let this be a reminder, an inspiration, a calling towards action. Knowing that transformation will come with action. If you don't act, you're just gonna stay the same. And if you are loving your life and you feel like life is perfect, okay, then maybe that's great for you. But if you know that you would like to change, you also need to do some action to change, to actually take steps, create new rhythms and habits, and move in different ways in the world than you have before. There's like this in this transformation, this building is burning and there's smoke. It's like the burning of the old to birth the new. And coming back to the mushrooms with the fires, that's another thing that creates mushrooms. Like, I don't know if you ever hunted for morels or chanterelles, but oftentimes they're the best after there's been a wildfire, like that next summer or next season. I think it's in the fall. I haven't done much mushrooming recently. Yeah, would like to do it again. But I love how just these two cards wanted to come together, and like one has the sun. Ooh, this one has the sun, and this one has the moon. There's crystals here and this red color showing up, which also just makes me think of our blood, our wombs, our bleeding time. We have these cycles each month during our menstruating years. Yeah. So, yes, change can be scary. Can also be exciting and it can be challenging, and things are always changing whether we engage and move with it or not. So this feels exciting. So commune, be with others, find the magic, remember the magic. I feel like this is a remembering of the magic within, the magic with surrounding us, and to commune with other humans. I know that a lot of people have been talking about this, but since COVID, I feel like people have been having a harder time doing face-to-face interactions. There's more online, which I love online. The power of online is incredible, and how important it is to like be in the flesh with one another. And that the Tulsi, the wealth is available to us, but we need to take action in order to have the transformation. So, how does that ring true to you? Do you feel inspired? Do you feel called towards action? I hope that you do. Okay. So I'm just going to talk a little bit about rites of passage. In Mother Circle, we go much deeper into this, but I'm not going to go deep, but I'm going to speak about rites of passage. It's a potent frame for what we go through as we become mothers or other times. We currently have few rites of passage that are marked and ritualized in community, at least here in the Western world and the United States. And historically, there have actually been fewer rites of passage created for women than men. And I might invite you to be curious about why. And one reason might be because as females, we actually have rites of passage wired into our biology, like the beginning of our monthly bleeding cycle. Pregnancy is a rite of passage, birth, a rite of passage, menopause are all examples of rite of passage that happen within us and we experience physiologically as women. But just because we go through a rite of passage, it doesn't mean that the culture we live within has honored that rite of passage or received us and our wisdom like back into the community. So a rite of passage can be understood in three stages: a separation, a transition, and then an integration. And like I said, in Mother Circle, if you want to find out more, join the next Mother Circle. I'm not sure when it's going to be, probably in the next couple months. There's a way you can sign up on my website to be on the mailing list to find out when I am hosting my next virtual Mother Circle. I'm also super stoked for when we get settled to do a in-person Mother Circle. But to bring this rite of passage, full rite of passage experience, and help us place ourselves, help you place yourself within this archetypal journey, I'm going to share with you the story of Inanna. So I'm just going to move my notes a little closer here. So the story of the descent of Inanna, it is said to be one of the oldest myths from Mesopotamia. Inanna is known as the Queen of Heaven, goddess of love, war, and fertility. It's been told by many with variation. I might link a few. There are a few podcast hosts that have shared this story, but they all hold some same key elements. I was hoping that I would have time to practice this before doing it for the podcast, but as life has unfolded, I just don't. I need to get this recorded. So here we are. Like I said earlier, this version I'm telling today is inspired most directly from Jessica Connolly's version that she tells in Mother Circle. I just love the way that she speaks it. She was on my podcast here. The episode was published December 12th, 2023. I don't know the episode number, but I'll link it in the show notes. She doesn't tell the Inanna story in the podcast. She tells it in Mother Circle, but we do talk about all things Mother Circle and learning to facilitate sacred circles. So, as we begin, Inanna, she is the queen of the upper world. She has this beautiful life that she loves. She has friends, wise women that surround her, a gorgeous kingdom, a serene landscape. She lives among these like beautiful mountains with a little river. And then one normal day, she heard a call, not a literal call, like a phone call, but a call from spirit. And as she went along her day, she was trying to ignore it, go about her normal routine, but the call from the underworld got louder. So she gathered her wise guys and told them about this call she was hearing from the underworld. They told her, "It's okay. You're actually supposed to answer this call. You should answer this call." But she still wasn't sure if she should go to the underworld. You know, why should she give up all that she knows here, this beautiful life, for the unknown? What if she went down and she didn't know how to get back up? So she was thinking about it, wondering. She returned to her spirit guides and asked them if they would come and get here. Like, if I go do this, will you come and get me if I don't come back within a few days? And they agreed to do so. So, as she prepared for her journey to the underworld, her guides and community members brought her beautiful gifts and talismans to help protect her. They gifted her a crown for her head with these beautiful moonstones in it, a headband adornment with a lapis stone, an incredible necklace with amethyst, a beautiful breastplate covering her heart, and her stomach with that green malachite. She started to feel so held and protected by these gifts as she put them on. She was then given this beautiful belt with all of these little pouches of stones and tinctures, herbal medicine, calendula, maybe some psilocybin, some nettle, St. John's wort. She was gifted a skirt with these little shorts that covered the bottom of her body with incredible blue thread and some rose quartz dangling, jingling. And Anna found herself feeling ready as she looked over all these gifts that were adorning her. And then again, she heard this call. She felt herself at the threshold. She said yes to the call. So she starts heading towards the underworld, and she had that moment where her eyes were above in the upper world, and then the rest of her below, and then she sank fully below and into the underworld. Walking into the darkness towards the unknown. She comes to a gate. What? She's surprised. She didn't expect gates. No one told her there was going to be a gate. And there's even a gatekeeper there. And he says to her that she has to give him the crown in order for her to pass through the gate. She's shocked. She didn't know she would have to give her crown. But at this point, she feels committed. So she gives him the crown, takes it off her head, gives him the crown. He opens the gate and she passes through. Then she continues on, walks on, and then a little later finds herself at another gate with another gatekeeper who insists that she gives up her headband. So reluctantly, she takes it off and gives it and passes through. Now, here it's just getting darker and darker. And she comes to the third gate and again is asked to give something and realizes that this is a pattern, that each gate she's probably going to have to give something up. And how many gates are there? And yet she knows that this is where she needs to go. So she keeps going. And at each gate, she's asked to give the next talisman. Anana makes it to the seventh and last gate. And all that she has left on is her skirt with the little short shorts, the skirt that has all these medicines and stones. And yet she takes it off and gives it to the man. And now she's completely naked, totally vulnerable, without any of the things that were meant to protect her. It's completely dark. She can't see anything, and she doesn't recognize where she is. And Anna thinks to herself, what have I done? Why did I leave what I had? Now I'm here and I'm naked and I'm in the dark. I don't know where I'm going. But it's right then that she begins to hear a moan somewhere ahead of her, a gut-wrenching oh, moaning. She can't see. So she starts to just, feel her way forward, moving closer to the moaning, feeling her way in front of her. Then finally, Inanna stumbles upon the source of the moaning and realizes it's her sister, Arishkigal. Now, Arishkigal is curled up in the fetal position on the ground in front of her. Her sister doesn't even recognize her or acknowledge that she's here in the underworld. Then, at that exact moment, before she's able to act, an entity comes down, swoops in, picks Inanna up, and places her on a meat hook on the wall near her sister, who is still moaning, helpless on the floor. Inanna's now immobilized on the wall, on a hook, unable to help her sister, unable to do anything. She feels that she's losing control, that she's lost control. She can't move. She's naked on a hook. A day goes by, a night goes by, and Inanna finds herself thinking of the upper world, the freedom and joy she had there, and wonders why she gave that up to come here to the underworld. Another day and night go by, and her memories begin to fade a little bit. Her awareness of the life she once had begins to fade as she comes into the present moment of question, unknown, of the unknown and fear. She can barely even remember like what that upper world was like a distant dream. Another day and night go by. Her sister Rishkal is still moaning, and Inanna is now losing her energy, her life force draining from her. And then, with a glimmer of hope, she remembers that she had asked her wise guides to come look for her if she didn't return, if she got stuck. Then, a little while later, she sees them coming. And as they get nearer to her, she's surprised as they go right past her towards her sister on the floor. Her guides begin to witness Arishkigal supporting her sister, laying hands on her, holding her, stroking her hair. The guides listen and stay with Arishkigal as she stops moaning and begins new ways of emoting and expressing. The spirit guides continue to stay with Arishkigal, hands on her, stroking her, loving her, allowing her to emote in whatever ways she needs. They stay there with her until there is silence. And it's then that slowly Arishkigal unfurls from the fetal position, first onto her knees and then up onto her feet and standing. And she looks really different. As she starts to get her bearings, Arishkigal reaches out and takes Inanna off the meat hook and sets her down. Inanna becomes aware of an immediate felt sense of aliveness again. She feels the life force energy coming back into her body. She feels a difference. Something about her that has been maybe even reborn in the underworld. The two sisters don't share any words, but they're connecting with one another through eye contact. And that's when Inanna realizes she's being called, invited to return back to her kingdom. She's being beckoned. So again, Inanna starts back on this also unknown journey, one that she has never made before. Inanna starts to ascend. As she moves towards the first gate, she wonders, will I get my items back? My talismans? If I do get them back, would they even fit me anymore? Do I even need them? Well, as she gets to the first gate, they do not give her adornment back, but they do give her a gift, a small gift. And at each gate, she's given a small gem or symbol. She accepts them, but she isn't even really sure what they are, but she knows that she needs them to keep them with her for the journey back home. So when she passes in each gate, she receives another one. And when she passes through the last gate, which is the first one that she had initially passed through on her way down into the underworld, she starts to see the light of the upper world, her home. Now she anticipated if she ever got home, like when she was stuck on that meat hook, she imagined if she ever got home, she would be just dashing towards that upper world, running. And yet instead, Inanna finds herself slowly making her way back up and into the light. Once her feet are finally on solid ground in the upper world, she looks down at herself and realizes that she's still unclothed. She really doesn't even recognize herself fully anymore. She feels different, new. And Anna looks out on her kingdom and wonders, how can a place so familiar also feel so unfamiliar and so new? She feels a sense of humility, vulnerability, and also sovereignty. And it's in the spirit of those things that she sets off towards her kingdom with a sense of curiosity about who she is now and who she will become. And that is the end of this Inanna story for today. And if you've listened this far, I might invite you to take a moment and notice where you might locate yourself in this Inanna story. Are you deep in the underworld? Are you going down to the underworld? Are you on the meat hook? Have you already returned to the upper world? Or maybe you feel like you're ascending up into the upper world. I don't know. But I hope that you enjoyed this story. And we had lots of tears when I told this story in Mother Circle. And even in a group of maidens, mothers, and crones. We had a beautiful group. Maidens, mothers, crones. Three different countries. And there were tears to be had. So just give yourself time if you're feeling a little tearful right now. And that's all for now. I hope you're having a beautiful spring. Thank you. Thank you for tuning in. I hope that you enjoy this episode of The Heart of the Soul. You can support this podcast by donating to it using the PayPal or Venmo links found in the show notes below. If you have stories that you would like to share on my show, please send me an email through my website. I would love, love, love to hear from you. If you would like to work with me one-on-one, please check out my current offerings on birthingnova.love. And if you're listening on Spotify, you can now send me a voice message through the link at the bottom of the show notes, only on Spotify. And yeah, be brave, be bold, be love, be you. For yourself and for the generations to come. Love, love, love.